your protection and your care for us this past week as we had Bible school here. And just thank you for the opportunity we had to do that and for the privilege that was. And I just pray that you would continue to water the seeds that were planted here this week. And God, I just pray for our time together here this morning. I pray for Josh as he shares your word with us. I pray that you would open our hearts to be able to hear and to understand and to apply what we hear to our lives. And I just ask that you would be honored and glorified here this morning. Also pray for Trollen as he shares a family harvest. You would anoint him as well and allow him to share your message there. We thank you and praise you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I too want to say good morning and greet you all in the name of the Lord. It's good to be here. Good to see all of you that came out. I thought it might be a little emptier, but it looks like there are a good number of people here. I thought we might be pretending that we're a small church plant here this morning, but I would say this would be a large church plant if it was a church plant. I too want to thank Marshall for those songs, and it goes very well with what I have this morning, what the Lord laid on my heart. And the first song was Blessed Assurance. This is my story. This is my song. Can we have the assurance of salvation? Do you have the assurance of salvation? And I would say yes, we can. And I hope that you have the assurance of salvation. And then he paid a debt. Jesus paid it all. Are you a believer in that? Do you believe that Jesus paid it all? And more than that, are you a follower of Jesus? Not just believe it, but are you a follower? And then have your own way, Lord. Is that your testimony this morning? Is that what, are you serious about that? You want the Lord to mold you and make you after his will. Is that your heart? I hope that you thought about that as you were singing it. Mold me and make me after thy will. And it goes along very well with what I'm planning to share on this morning, and plan to share on our decision to follow Christ, what that means for us, and how that affects us in life. And but before we get into that, I too want to thank each one of you and all the energy that you gave this past week, investing into the lives of children from this town, from this community. And I think that is what life as a follower of Christ should look like. I think that's what it's about. It's about sharing God's love, the good news of Jesus, with those around us. So thank you to all of you that made last week possible. And may God bless you for all that you've done. It took a lot of energy and a lot of evenings, a lot of time. But I just want to thank you. And just a special thank you to the superintendents for working together to plan. Thank you to Delmar and to Lowell and John. Thank you guys all for your hard work. And also to those that were in charge of the stations, the games, snacks, Bible and crafts, and not just the elementary students, but the pre-elementary students downstairs. I didn't get to see what went on really down there. But thank you to all those that were in charge of those stations. And also to Harold and Joy and to Mervin Barb for their hard work in getting the kids to come. getting them to attend Bible school. We couldn't have it without all their communication and organization that it takes to run the bus route. I thought that everyone worked well together and that it was a success. And so now that summer Bible school is over, we can sit back, we can go on vacation, we can take a break, we can get ready for next year, right? Well, that's kind of how I felt after it was over. But I hope that's not our attitude. I hope that's not my attitude for very long. Don't get me wrong, I am all for a vacation and taking a quick break. And I encourage each one of you to take a vacation, take a break with family, with friends, to go on vacation. But take Jesus with you. Don't take a break from your relationship with him. Don't let Jesus at home. Do we need a break from being a follower of Christ? And I would just, I think each one of you would say, no, we don't. But what do we look to give ourselves a breather? What do we look to give ourselves a breath of fresh air? And how long do we need to take a breather? We have come to a reorganization again, and I just want to thank each one of you that made yourselves available to be put on the slate, to be voted for. And it's this time of the year that creates challenges for those that work together and putting that slate together. And especially with the church plant starting, it creates even more of a challenge. I believe it makes it tougher that we need everybody to help. And if I can just, if I'm able just to share my heart with you this morning, I don't like to say if I can be honest with you, because I hope I'm always honest with you. But if I can just share my heart with you, this time of year and getting or asking people, I'm not involved with asking people, but just hearing what goes on and I do talk to people sometimes, but I really have to keep my attitude in check sometimes. And the reason why is because when people are asked to help fill roles in church, to be available and to share their gifts, we not often, but we sometimes hear the phrase, "No, because I want a break." And I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, because I don't even know who said that or if anybody said it. But did you ever think about what the effects of that would be, what that it really are? What are the effects of you taking a break from positions that God calls you to, that God gifts you for? And before you throw a songbook at me or your Bible or something at me, I want you to know that, yes, we do need to take breaks from things sometimes. But may I ask when the last time you took a extended break from your job, from your work? When was the last time you took an extended break from your children and maybe your favorite hobby? When was the last time you took a break from that? And again, I'm not opposed to taking breaks, but what burdens my heart is, do we really need a whole year for a break? And what does this say, not just to me, not just to your brothers and sisters here at Wilmsdorf Church, but what does it say to God, who gave you your gifts and who has asked you to serve with those gifts? And I just wanted to go over some of the implications I believe that can happen if we take a year off, and what I've seen in people's lives when they take a year off. I have seen a disconnect starting to take place. I can see this as a reason why we no longer feel a closeness to our brothers and sisters. And I fear that we fail to allow ourselves to continue to grow spiritually. I think as we fill our roles in the church, we grow spiritually. And I think we fail in that. We don't allow that to happen. And I also fear that those that need to fill in more, because we need a break, I believe that the people that fill in more can experience burnout in the future. And so those are just some of the implications, I believe, that that may take place. And like I said, I think we need breaks, but do we need a whole year? Maybe we just need 3 months. I need a break from preaching, and a month break is about good enough. I mean, it gives me a chance to get a breather and prepare for the next time. So I think that extended breaks can be taken, but for reasons of learning or education, for VS work, for family matters, for health reasons, as well as other important reasons. And so I ask you to please consider your motives for wanting a break, and also the implications that will take place if you take that extended break. And if you guys disagree with me on that, I want you to be able to talk to me, share your heart back to me. I don't want to be out of line, but I want to hear your heart as well. All right. Preparing for this Sunday and searching and trying to seek God and what He wanted me to share, I had a pastor from Pine Grove, of a community church there in Pine Grove, come in, and we had a discussion on just the different challenges and the busyness of being a pastor, what it creates. And he was just sharing with me, you know, what all he's involved with. And a Bible study that they're going through right now, and they're studying on what it means to become a follower of Christ. What does that do? What does that do for us? What does that do to us? And what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And also, in that conversation too, is it possible to walk away from Christ? That's a big thing. Among the universal church, not necessarily as much in the Anabaptist church, but in the universal church, is it a possibility that someone, if they're saved, is it possible for them to walk away? So the question for you this morning is, how did you become a follower of Christ? Did you pray a prayer? Did you become a follower of Christ at a revival meetings? Did someone you know lead you to Christ? Is the terminology of the prayer that you prayed, is that important? Does that have any effect on your decision to follow Christ? Is the way you came to Christ biblical? And I really believe that all these are important questions that we need to think about, because it is accepting Christ as our Savior, becoming a follower of Christ, is the most important decision we'll make as Christians, as people. It's even more important than who we marry. That's the second most important, I think. But the most important is, you know, our decision to become a Christian. And so I think we need to look at our decision, and we need to realize the importance of that and the weight of it. If someone came to you and asked you, "I want to become a Christian," what would you say? What would you do? Would you be able to lead them to Christ if somebody asked you? This week, this week coming up, if somebody asked you that, "I want to become a follower of Christ," you know, what would you do? Would you be able to lead them to the Lord? We as disciples of Christ are called to make disciples. And how can we do this if we don't know how? Shouldn't we understand? Shouldn't we know the proper way in leading somebody to Christ? Because that's what we're called to do. So I think we need to be careful and understand the importance of this decision, the importance of becoming a believer of Christ, becoming a follower of Christ. Not making it something that just happens on a whim. It's just not something that happens with a, just a lighthearted prayer. It's something of, it needs to be commitment. It is, again, it's the most important decision that we'll make in our lifetime. And I believe that there are any number of steps that you want to make, but I have four important steps of becoming a born-again believer. And the first one is repentance, being sorry for our sin. If you want to know how to lead somebody to Christ, the first step is for them to repent. And second is for them to believe. Recognize Jesus' blood as a sacrifice for sin. The third one is to be baptized, symbolizing the being washed clean. And the fourth is to follow Christ. Jesus talks a lot about following me. Evidence of being born again. It's a fruit of being born again. And I don't believe that we can go to one scripture in the Bible and say, you know, this is it. This is what needs to happen to be born again. This verse in the Bible is the only thing that we need to do. A lot of people like to look at John 3:16 and that's it, just that verse, and say, you know, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, so all we need to do is believe. That's all we need to do, but we need to look at the verses past that and the verses before it, too. We can't just take one verse and single that out. So let's look at the entire Bible and see what the whole Bible says on the subject, not just what one verse says. I believe... And a lot of it has to do with this subject too, is what you believe about God's grace and what God's grace means to you. And your view of God's grace, I believe, determines on your lifestyle that you're going to live. The church that you go to, the church that you pick, is your view on grace, on God's grace. And again, I don't think that we can just point to one scripture. I think we need to look at the entire Bible and see what it has to say. So first of all, let's look at repentance. I don't have just one scripture that I'm going to look to. I just have a whole bunch of verses here that talk about repentance. And so I have them up here. Acts 3:19. What does it say? It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come and the presence of the Lord." So we need to repent and be converted. Repent of our sin. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Again, repentance is the first step, I believe, to becoming a follower of Christ. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And Luke 13:3. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them," this is, I think, one of Peter's first sermons that he preached. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And Revelation 2:5. "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Repentance is a crucial part in coming to Christ and becoming a follower of Christ. If there is repentance, there will be change. There will not be staying the same. If we repent of our sin, we will experience change in our lives. The second one is believe. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believe his birth, death, and resurrection. That's the gospel. I think I learned that from Alan Roth when he was here. It kind of nailed it down in my mind. But that when somebody asks you, what is the gospel? It's Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. This is part of becoming a child of God, is believing in Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. Let's read a few verses here that talk about believing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And again, some people like to read John 3:16 and say, you know what, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I believe that he died for me, and now I can live how I want. You know, as long as I believe that, I'm saved. And don't get me wrong, it's Christ's blood that saves us. But then there needs to be fruit out of our lives. Out of that, there needs to be fruit showing of our following of Christ. It's just like practicing what we preach, right? We have to be able to practice what we preach. We have to be able to do what we say we did. So Christ's blood, and only Christ's blood, is what reconciles us to God. It's nothing else. It's not our good works. It's not our church. It's not our covenant. It's not our culture. It's Christ's blood that reconciles us to God. It isn't possible for us to live a perfect life. None of us live a perfect life. So without the blood of Jesus, we would not be able to be reconciled to God. So first of all, we must repent. Second of all, we must believe. And third, be baptized. He who believes is baptized. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is an act of obedience. It's a symbol showing us, a symbol representing the washing clean, washing the sins from us. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. And the fourth is to follow Christ. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Luke 18:22. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me. In Mark 10:21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." I believe that this is important. How many times in the Bible did Jesus tell people to follow me? There's many more references that we could have put down, many more. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we will want to follow Christ. We won't have to, we will want to. The Bible, I don't believe the Bible says anywhere that, I don't believe the Bible says anywhere about asking Jesus to come into our hearts. If you know of a reference that says that, let me know. But Jesus calls us to himself. Jesus calls us to him. We don't call him to our heart, or we don't ask him to come into our heart. He calls us to himself. Jesus calls us to follow him. And I have to wonder if this affects our timidness sometime, our bashfulness, and our not being bold for Christ. Do we have the mindset that Christ is living in our hearts? And that is what being a Christian is all about, is just having Christ in our hearts. Jesus calls us to follow him. And I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit as a gift, but then we are called to follow Christ. Are you a follower of Christ this morning? Or is he just living in your heart? Like many of us have prayed in a prayer. Are you a follower of Christ this morning, or is he just living in your heart? Who is leading and who is following in your life? This brings us to the benefits of being a follower of Christ. What does it mean to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? What are the benefits? First of all, we're forgiven. When we repent, we're forgiven. We're forgiven of all our sins, and he remembers them no more. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We no longer need to feel guilty of the things that we have been forgiven of. We no longer have to feel guilty of them. Do you know what it's like to live freely, to have that guilt, the weight of guilt on you gone? To not feel the weight of sin on you? Do you know what that is like? The second benefit would be adoption. We become part of the family of faith. Not only do we become a part of the local church, but we become part of the universal church, the church abroad. We are part of the family of God. We now have a spiritual daddy, an Abba Father. The third thing is we are justified. We are justified, and it allows us to approach the throne of God. Previously to this, we would not have been able to approach because of our sin. But now that we believe in Jesus and his sin, or Jesus and his sinless life and the blood that he shed to make us, he became sin for us so we could come before God in prayer. So he justifies us. We are made perfect through the blood of Jesus. And a fourth thing is we have a heavenly citizenship. We no longer need to fear dying. The fear of death should not be part of us. We have victory over death. Death is the Christian's bridge to eternity with Christ. This doesn't bring us anxiety. It doesn't bring us fear. It doesn't bring us worry. This should bring us peace and rest. if we know where we're going to go. This should bring us peace. So in closing, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of God is that all of us will come to him, that all of us will repent and believe and be baptized and follow him. That is the will of God. And I think most of us have done well, or have done three of the things listed that we shared about. But what about following me? How have you done with following him? As a Christian, have you been following Christ? Or are you following something else? The things that you are doing in life, the decisions that you're making in life, ask yourself, is God leading me to this? Is God leading you to the things that are coming out of your decisions? And if not, then I would urge you to take a step back and allow Christ to lead you in all areas of life. Allow Christ to lead you and follow him. Are you trusting in Christ, or are you trusting in your church, or your culture, or your good deeds, or your works? What are you trusting in? Your church isn't going to save you. Whether you go to Wilmersdorf, whether you go to another church, your church will not save you. Because you're part of a church, it will not save you. No matter how conservative, how progressive it is, we cannot look to our church to save us. Jesus and only Jesus can save us. And so my prayer is that we'll put our trust in Christ, that we'll follow him, that we'll allow him to lead us, and that we'll live our lives following him where he asks us to go. So with these things, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for, first of all, for your Son and his dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, we're not a perfect people. I'm not a perfect person. And Lord, where I've come up short, Lord, I just pray that I would continue to repent of my sin and to believe that your blood washes my sins away. And Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, I just ask that as we live out our Christian lives, wherever you would lead us, Lord, I pray that we would be followers of you and not be trying to lead our own way and just having you in our hearts, but Lord, that we would follow you in areas and in sharing our gifts. Lord, I just pray that that we would reach out to you and that we would follow you wherever you would lead us and wherever you go. Lord, I just pray for our church family here. And Lord, wherever you lead us, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to follow and the things that you would have us to do. Lord, just pray that that we would submit and that we would follow you the rest of our days. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.